And thank you also to the Mr. Kemper for the introduction. It's a pleasure for us as well to Zero Waste Europe to be here. And I have to mention that for those of us who have been in the Zero Waste movement for now I can say decades, it's really quite a special moment to finally be having a conference in Germany. Because as you said, Germany has lots of good things, but it's good also, also champions in waste generation. And I think that this is a sign that actually that this is now finally coming to Germany, a movement that started in Southern Europe and that is present around the world, and it's very important. So thank you for the hospitality, and thank you everybody for coming. So I'm the director of Zero Waste Europe. I'm going to give you an overview of why are we here and why Zero Waste. So, as we speak, you know that today Little Greta is demonstrating in Berlin, taking children out of school to actually do what adults should be doing. Because when children have to behave like adults and adults behave like children, it means that change is happening, right? But what Greta is showing and is saying is that the planet is in danger. We know what needs to be done, but we're not doing it. And if you don't do it, we're going to do it. And it is that mindset, I think, that inspires Zero Waste. So waste is not a technical thing, but it's very far from being a technical thing. Because we know the science. We know what needs to be done. We have the political goals that linear economy is bad, etc. But this is not happening. These things don't happen if people don't push for it. And that's what Zero Waste Movement is about. That's why here today you are representatives from local authorities, from companies, entrepreneurs, academia, but above all civil society. Because it's the mix, it's bringing together different groups that actually creates the necessary energy to make things happen. So why is Zero Waste? I'll move to the next one. What is Zero Waste and why is Zero Waste? If you look back in the 1960s, in the United States, there was poverty, there was racism, there was still like lots of discrimination. And Martin Luther King back then said, "I have a dream." Considering the situation, he should have said, "I have a nightmare." But no, he said, "I have a dream." And that is the spirit. And he didn't know actually how he was going to actually change the world. He didn't know how, we're going to get where we are today. But the important thing is that he knew that things needed to change. And things needed to go in a certain direction. And Zero Waste is that spirit. Is Zero Waste possible? Well, that's an interesting question. But Zero Waste is necessary. And we need to go in this direction. That's the most important thing. So in a way, we have a dream, but more than a dream, we also have the science with us. As you will see in the presentations that will come after my presentation, we have best practices already. So this is a dream that is becoming true. The former Commissioner for Environment, Janusz Korkocznik, said that zero waste was the right goal to have. It's a goal that actually helps us to work. In a way, the circular economy of today, of the European Union, is going in this direction. And as I said, technology has evolved a lot. Only 30 years ago, reaching 20% recycling rates seemed like a dream. Today, the European Union has a target of 65% recycling by 2030. So, we are capable of doing things we've never done before. The problem at stake here is that this is not enough. In the context of climate change, in the context of really like declining biodiversity, etc., like business as usual is not going to be enough. So in the context of decarbonization, in which Germany is one of the leaders, and I know that Kiel has also a goal of decarbonization by 2050, it is important to like go beyond business as usual, because this recycling is not going to be enough to get. So we cannot recycle our way out of plastic pollution, we cannot recycle our way out of the crisis that we are today. Because you could claim that, well, if we produce everything to be recyclable and we collect everything separately, we recycle everything, we are in a zero-waste economy, we are fine. But that's not the case. We would still be unsustainable even in this ideal goal, because we would still not be using our resources properly. We need to rethink the way that our societies work. And I'm very happy to see how today we're going to have presentations of how to do that. It's not about like making things recycled, but how do we prevent the waste? How do you create a business model that makes sure that the money stays in the community, creates local jobs, and doesn't generate waste? So it's not only like ticking one box, it's how do you tick as many boxes as possible. That's how nature works. It's not a unidirectional thing. It needs to be a systemic approach. And for that, we're going to need more than recycling. And zero waste is a lot more than recycling. It's really about changing the way we do things. Just as an example of like how we human beings are working, we have produced, as humans, 8,000 million tons of plastic in the last 70 years. Less than 10% of that has been recycled. The rest is somewhere, either in the air, in the rivers, in the oceans, etc. Nature produces 2,000 billion tons of cellulose per year. That means in 1 year, nature produces 18,000 times more cellulose than us plastic, than us plastic in 70 years. Yet what nature produces is absorbing carbon and is fully systemic, whereas we have created something that actually it doesn't fit into the system of today. So the culture of the circularity of our system still needs to be improved. Of course, nature has the advantage; it has been there for a lot more than human beings. And what nature has done through evolution, humans have to do through design. And we don't have much time, so we better get smarter and quick. And that brings me to the zero waste hierarchy. That's the technical part of my presentation. But I think it illustrates a bit what are the steps. You have the waste hierarchy of the European Union, but we have our own, and this is we're presenting it today. This has been on the making, but puts the emphasis really on reducing the energy intensity and really like working at the high levels. Most European policies today deal with recycling, will deal with incineration, deal with landfilling, when the solutions are all in the upper levels of the hierarchy and there's very little legislation or incentives to actually move in that direction. So it's very important that we move this way. As you can see, the first action is really like to rethink our consumption, rethink and redesign how we consume. Secondly, we need to plan the products and packaging in a way that when we are done with them, they can be reused by others and they don't lose value, because most of the stuff that we produce loses value, like 90% of the value after the first use. Thirdly, we need to enable the conditions for a repair economy to flourish. We need to shift taxation from labor to resources, making spare parts available, etc. Fourth, and then we go into waste management. Of course, the stuff that becomes waste needs to be separately collected, and then we need to optimize, and you're going to hear presentations later about how to do that. Then, from the residual waste, they're still possible to recover materials, and that you can do through material recovery. And in the future, you might be able to do chemical recovery for as long as what we recover is turned again into polymers or into materials that are used for the same purpose. If it's to like produce energy with it, that's still linear economy. And finally, I mean, if you do all of this, what is going to be left in the residuals is going to be actually biologically like not very active. So you can still stabilize it and landfill it. We have a last level in our hierarchy that is what we consider unacceptable. And unacceptable is all the systems actually lock you in a situation where it doesn't allow you to advance. These are things like big incinerators, landfills, looping, etc. And I know that Germany and Europe have heavily invested in incineration. And we believe that that this is a technology that, that belongs to the past. And if we are thinking about decarbonizing the economy, and Kiel and Germany have an objective of being carbon neutral by 2050, incinerators are still burning fossil fuel resources, plastic, etc. So they need to actually be progressively phased out. And this is why when we start with zero waste strategies, we look into make sure you don't have this locked in, because otherwise you're not going to be able to like reduce waste. You're not going to be able to separate waste if you have a contract that says like you need to burn this amount of waste. So that is very important. What I was showing and an example of that is this is the example of Sweden. It's considered one of the most effective waste management systems in the world, also one of the most expensive, and it has around 50% separate collection of plastic packaging. And after the first use, we can see that 87% of the value, of the material value of resources, of the plastic packaging is lost after the first use. And that's what is separated for recycling in Sweden. And this is very serious, because what we sell as recycling is very much like still like an energy recovery. And clearly, as I said before, recycling is important. It's important that it's there. It's important that we have plastic-to-plastic recycling as much as possible. But recycling has limits, and I think we need to make sure we can So the most effective way to deal with this is really to like stop producing waste, like close the tap instead of trying to like when you have a mess, try to manage the mess. Actually, like just go upstream and let's design the economy in a way that actually that we don't need to have all these negative externalities. San Francisco has partnered with with the city of Hill, and it's great. San Francisco adopted the zero waste goal in 2003. It was the first town in the U.S. to do this. Have they reached zero waste today? No, they haven't. But they are the most advanced city in the U.S. going in this direction. So zero waste has really helped San Francisco to advance, and right now it's really the lighthouse of zero waste in the U.S. So when we talk about zero waste in cities, that's what it means. It doesn't mean that that Kiel is a zero waste city today. What it means is that Kiel commits to go in the direction of zero waste, and there's going to be lots of steps to go there. And what matters is not if you get to zero waste, like in 10 years or 20 years. What matters is that you go in this direction in a consistent way and building synergies. And what we find out, according to our experience, is that you're going to build synergies, you're going to build actually strategies that go beyond waste. It's going to, like, as you have packaging pre-shops, you're going to have new businesses, you're going to actually have an economy that thrives, that is locally, that is resilient, that money stays in the community. It has nothing to do with waste, but that's one of the externalities, positive externalities of this. That's what we have seen in San Francisco as well. So the Zero Waste Cities approach consists in a continuous effort to phase out waste by not burning or landfilling it, and instead creating systems that don't generate waste in the first place. The traditional waste management versus zero waste is like from a centralized capital intensive system that burns or landfills waste and locks you into waste generation because you need to generate the waste to feed the incinerators or the landfills, to a system that is decentralized, that creates jobs, that identifies, so actually makes waste very visible so that because you don't know what you're doing wrong, you cannot fix it, and enables waste reduction policies, so really going upstream. The benefits for cities, of course, is that the less waste you need to manage, less litter, less cost for the city, more money that you can invest into social services, into new initiatives, into the plastic economy, more social integration, more social innovation, etc. So it's using the money for the people instead of like investing it into big machines. The momentum is now in Europe. We have the single-use plastic directive that is going to actually pass lots of prevention policies. We have the new waste, the circular economy with recycling targets, etc. So the conditions are very ripe to actually have this change happen now. And as I explained in the beginning, with, and our children are asking for it, the time needs to be now. We don't have any other time to actually address the problem of climate change, and zero waste is clearly part of that. So it's really timely, and I'm very happy to see that in Germany the zero waste movement is growing. We say in zero waste that zero waste is not about the journey, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And because it helps us walk in this direction. And it's important that we do it together. As I said, we're very happy that Germany finally is part of the Zero Waste family and is joining groups in Europe, but also in the rest of the world. We're having Zero Waste.